डिस्क्रिप्शन भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 26 वर्स नंबर 53 by the universal body of Supreme Godhead. Material nature is simply the supplier of materials. The creation is actually done by the Supreme Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Maya Takshena Prakriti Suyatresa Characharam. Under my direction, does material nature create all moving and non-moving objects in the cosmic creation. Om Agyati Mirandasya Jnanandana Shilatriya Chakshurumilitam Dena Tasmay Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Dena Vartale Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinamandu Jalakate Govesha Vabhikatanta Raja Vanta Namastuse Tapta Kanchana Gauranti Saragi Vidavati Shri Krishnanam Sudevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatra Rupescha Kripa Sindhu Vigevacha Patitanam Pane Vyo Vaisna Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda because there are certain scholars who give a lot of emphasis on sun being equal to the main presiding deities within the universe also, which is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and what to speak of Krishna, which according to them is expansion of one of the presiding deities, which is Vishnu. So they are equated on a very equal level, whether it's Lord Ganesh. So these five presiding deities, five main deities, are seen on an equal level by some people, some scholars or some schools. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is actually explaining that it's just a mere part of that heat which makes sun very special, sun very important, is just a mere part of heat from the sum total of mundane heat which sun produces. And because he is just exercising the delegated task given by the Lord himself, so he doesn't become the Lord himself. He is just a demigod who is playing a major part. So with this verse, Krishna, Prabhupada in the purport connects it to Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter verse number 10, where he is saying, where actually Lord Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita, that Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, that under my superintendence, under my direction, material nature, of which sun is just a part, creates all moving and non-moving objects. So it's making a very nice connection in the purport with this verse, where people can get confused, especially when it comes to creation part. If they take a specific verse out of context, then a presiding deity or a presiding demigod becomes all in all. So we'll just see this verse from Bhagavad Gita. The translation goes, this material nature, this is verse number 10 of chapter 9. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So here a very nice word is used, Maya Dakshina. So in surrender to me, Purujan Prabhu divides this word. Says Maya means by me, because Krishna is saying this. By me. Adhi means from above. And Aksha means eyes. So Maya, Adhi Aksha, Maya Adhaksha. So he says, by me from above eyes, that means under my eyes things are happening. This word simply means, he's breaking the word down. That under my eyes, this whole creation, this whole operation of material creation is happening under my superintendence. Even in India, a local counselor is called Adhyaksha of a particular area, or who is a superintendent or in charge of that particular area. Because he has to supervise things. So Lord is saying, under my supervision, practically everything that happens in the material creation is taking place. But I am not directly involved in it. So then Vishnu Chakra Thakur, in the same surrender to Purushan Prabhu, is quoting him. He gives an analogous example where he is saying a king is sitting on the throne and he is giving orders, and his energies, which are his ministers, are going and working outside. But actually the work is done by the ministers, but under the supervision of the king. But if the king doesn't sit on the throne, then work will not happen. So like that, he's giving an example that that's how the Lord is supporting, or this whole creation is happening. Unless the king is present on his throne, the ministers are incapable of doing anything, because the decision cannot be taken then. So we may be, even within our temple, if we see, then certain departments are divided, and then certain decisions you have to take. But then someone who has a service of finally authorizing it, if that person is not available, that devotee is not available, then because it has to be done under the supervision of someone who is more experienced, then work will not happen. Which it's actually happening under their supervision, but they are directly not doing it. So that's exactly what the Maya Vikshena word, Krishna is stressing on that, where this creation is happening and it's very easy to get misdirected in terms of who is actually the Lord, who is the person who is doing the thing, making the whole thing happen. In the same Brahma Samhita, when it comes to describe the position of Durga Devi, which is material nature personified, again in that verse, in that verse it says that Srishti Siddhi Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha. The whole creation, maintenance and annihilation is happening by her. But just what is the verse? Chaya Vajasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. She is a shadow potency. She is a chaya, she is a shadow potency of the Lord, who is taking care of creation, maintenance and annihilation. But what is the third? The chana rupam api yasya chesta tesa. But according to the Icha or the desire of the Lord, she works. So again the superintendence of the Lord is expressed there also. Brahmaji is saying that even when it comes to her, she may be doing great work, but based on the Icha or the desire of the Lord. Because if we see coming from Indian background, there are so much confusion in terms of the position of the Lord. Who is God? And if He is God, what about others? Is He a person? Is He not a person? That impersonal aspect, it keeps devotees very busy when it comes to explaining something. Because so many aspects or so many angles that are thrown. For some people, he's just a powerful person. Like Duryodhana also thought, he's just a powerful person who has some magical abilities, so try and capture him. For some people, he's one of the gods. For some people, he's just a manifestation of the impersonal effulgence and come as a person. So, there's so many angles people just throw at you. But if someone knows Bhagavad Gita, actual purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, direct verses also, an explanation by Srila Prabhupada, then it's very easy to explain, because so much confusion is there in the name of God. West has its own issues, East has its own issues in terms of explaining the position of God. But here, in the purport of that verse, Prabhupada gives very nice explanation. He says, because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of Supreme Lord, because he is glancing, he is doing some work. But he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in Smriti, where there is a fragrant flower before someone. The fragrance is touched by a smelling power of the person. Yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. For example, there is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with the material world, but he creates by his glance and audience. In summary, material nature without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot do anything. Yet, the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. As Maharaj was explaining yesterday, how Shambhu, Sadashiva, he carries the glance of the Lord and impregnates material nature. Because Lord in His direct Vishnu form doesn't come in physical contact with material nature. So He assumes the form of Shiva. And that's where another verse from Brahma Samhita explains the position of the Lord, where Brahmaji is telling Shiram Nithi Tadha Vikara Vishesha Yoga, where Lord is compared to milk, and for the purpose of creation, for the purpose of maintenance of annihilation, to make the show start, he transforms himself into form of Shiva, which sounds like milk but touched by acid is transformed into yogurt, and then the creational work starts. So the living entity with the time is carried by Lord Shiva and then impregnated in Mother material nature, which is called Shambhu, the glance of the Lord. And then the material nature gets agitated, and then the creational work begins within the material creation. So Because God doesn't want to come in direct contact with material nature, because He is in direct contact with spiritual energy, not material energy. So He assumes the form of Lord Shiva. So now, if someone understands this point, then where is the argument of or our fight, which many people in India especially they do, that Lord Shiva is supreme or Vishnu or Krishna is supreme? There is such a different opinion, and different groups are there, political groups are also there, who are fighting from centuries. You are Vaishnava, we are Shaivites, and then we don't enter your temple, you don't enter our temple. But if this understanding is clear, that the Lord Himself assumes a form for the purpose of creation, for the purpose of annihilation, then a very basic understanding, just by this very basic understanding, major problems is solved, and then spiritual progress can happen in a better way. So, especially you may coming from North India, it is people are naturally attracted towards Durga Devi. Someone from Lord Shiva also is there, but there is a very strong attraction towards towards Mata, which is Durga Devi, because her shrine is in North India somewhere. And then my whole family, many devotees I know from our group visit there. So we all accept that Krishna is also there, Sri Lord Shiva is also there, and Durga Devi is also there, and they are all same. So I have whom you like, who is your Ishtar, who is your dear deity? Okay, that's your dear deity. Oh, I like this, she is my dear deity. Then, and you like Shivji also, you do Shivratri fast. So that all mixed up thing is there. It's full mixed. And if you go towards south, and then another level of confusion is there. Okay, is Krishna coming from Vishnu? Krishna is the supreme, He is the source, that is still far better than this one though. It is. At least Lord Vishnu is accepted, His worship. But then there is another battle there though. Who is supreme? Vishnu or Shiva? And then that goes on. So, it literally keeps devotees engaged in glorifying and talking about Krishna, because people don't know. So when you speak to someone coming from these backgrounds, these confusions are very common. And then a super confusion is Lord a person or not a person? So even though they worship, go to temple, they worship all the deity worship they do, they visit all these holy places, but for them still it is very, very strongly embedded in the mind that He is not a person. He is not a person. And then another level of understanding is that a guru becomes God or a person becomes God whom they worship. That is so common. That is so common. That 2 days back I was speaking to a person, and he said he was there on Gita Jayanti. He bought Bhagavad Gita, he was very appreciative about devotees are doing. He wants to do service also in temples. But he visits a place in Delhi somewhere where they worship their guru, and very clearly, means for him it was so normal and so natural that he was expressing, anyways, he is form of Shiva. So we worship him, he is Shankar. So we worship him, he is Siddha Guru, and then his Siddha Pit is there, his place of worship where he left his body. So we just follow what he says, and anyways, 2-3 times, anyways, he is form of Shiva. Anyways, he is Shankar himself. So very, very strong this understanding is there that there is no difference. So in amongst all this confusion, amongst all this, then knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam makes it way and then explains so specifically, so exclusively who Krishna is, who Supreme Personality Godhead is. There is such a layer of confusion. And then it's easy to help people who worship demigods, but then it's very, very difficult to help those who see their Guru as God. Actually, if you try to explain, it's more difficult, because when those who are worshipping demigods, for them they accept Krishna also as one of the gods. And then you start to explain the position of Krishna in comparison. But if for them the Guru is Krishna, that is very difficult. That is more harder. So, and where this understanding comes from is the Guru, in a very subtle form, subtle way, puts puts this in the mind of the students to gain worship or to gain money or to get the name, fame, whatever he desires, is yes, I'm the Supreme, I'm the Lord Himself. And one of the gurus, very popular in 70s, 80s, one of his students asked him, Rajneesh, you know, that this is not written in Vedas what you're talking about. Vedas not the Bhagavad Gita doesn't speak about it. Vedas doesn't speak about it. Then in public, then this full student is there. He said, who has written Vedas? Ramakrishna only. No? So bring the Vedas, I'll change. Why do you think Ramakrishna cannot come back? I'll change it. I'll just change it. They only wrote Vedas, right? They only wrote the scriptures, so I'll change it. Why do you think, he's telling the student, why do you think they cannot come back and they cannot change? Because he was, when it comes to logical defeating people, he was pretty expert. In Vakasiddhi, some people have this Vakasiddhi, it's the power of speech, so manipulate. People, many people get attracted just by hearing him because themselves, nothing is there inside. So they just hear and they get attracted to the way he speaks. There's only one thing. He was very much attracted by his lectures. But he was in search of God, very sincerely he was searching God. As soon as Prabhupada's books he started reading, in 1 week only he understood he's a fool. I'm just repeating his own words, huh? He's a devotee now, fully practicing devotee. And in his words, he became a fool just by reading Prabhupada's books, whom he was so much attracted to, hours and hours he would hear this person speaking. So, this, amongst all this confusion, then Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam takes a very special role, position, which establishes Dharma for this age of Kali Yuga. And none other than Lord Himself can do it. You know, very specifically Krishna says, Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Religious principles can only be established by God Himself. And these human beings, when they come and they establish religious principles, or these personalities, when they, who are attracted to their particular deities or particular demigods, when they try to establish religious principles based on their understanding, it creates chaos, it creates confusion, and that's why some people call religious practices in India as khichdi, because it's fully mixed up, it's just everything together, and you do everything and anything in the name of religion. So, in Prabhupada's lecture on that Maya Dakshina verse, because he talks about intelligence, it needs some intelligence to see that there is person, there is a supreme person, or there is person who is working behind this whole amazing creation. And that brings people to understanding, to at least to atheist class who says everything is coming by chance, that how everything is ordained or controlled or supervised by a person or by a personal touch. Prabhupada gives his own example that when he was a child, in his childhood, when he would see a fan moving because he was young, he would think there's a ghost in the fan. And Prabhupada says in his lecture that is intelligence. It's a child, he's thinking like a child, but the intelligence is that there is someone who is making it move. So when first time I read that, I thought, what is the intelligence in it? You know, it's a little childish talking, a ghost in the fan. But then when I read 2-3 times, then it clicked me, he's talking about that intelligence to see that nothing is moving without a personal touch. To think like that. And then only a devotee inquires, who is that person or what is that personal touch which is behind the movement of the object. So then he gives another example. When he was a child, and if he would play gramophone, box is playing, then he would think there is someone sitting inside and speaking. Prabhupada is giving his own example, that's how he would think. That there is a person inside the gramophone who is speaking. Then he quotes the story, there was a boy who was playing drum and he was hitting the drum. And then he became so curious that someone inside is making the sound happen. And then he tore the drum open to see who is inside? Who is making this dum-dum sound? Child, another child. And then Robo says, that is intelligence. Even though it's childish, but it's intelligent to think that someone is making it happen. Whereas if you see atheistic class, for them, no one is there behind the scene. It's just happening by chance or by a combination of some material, chemicals or objects. In one of Prabhupada's conversations, one disciple came running to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, actually they were walking. So in a discussion, this topic came up where he said, Prabhupada, do you know science has progressed so much? Science has advanced so much. And then Prabhupada, in his personal style, would never mind science being glorified, but not aloof from God, not aloof from Krishna. So Prabhupada said, oh, so what is the progress of science? He said, scientists have created a new fruit, which is nectarine. A fruit is created, nectarine. And Prabhupada said, how? And he said, by making a combination, by breeding plum and peaches together. Then Prabhupada became serious. He said, you are glorifying scientists for creating nectarine. Why don't you glorify Krishna for creating plums and peaches? Because without that, how can they create nectarine? So it never be against technology, but don't separate it from the source of it, under whose supervision it all came in existence. And you know, this microphone or anything, there is a personal touch, there is a person working behind, and this raw material, everything is coming by the Lord's own arrangement. And from a small level, from a beginning level, to go to a giant level of universal egg, if everything is happening under supervision, and then just through hierarchies of demigods or great personalities, it is just divided and the work is done through these energies. But unless he is seen as the background or a basis of all of that, what's happening, it will be very, very difficult for a common man, for a common for a normal devotee to be Krishna conscious in every sphere of life. Unless this superintendence of Lord is not experienced or seen, or at least theoretically should be put in our minds, you know. And that's where when something happens in devotee's life also, Lord's hands should be seen, because he is working for our own purification. So for in so many ways actually. So just some of the points which came from this verse I wanted to share. Stop here and see if any questions or comments, but probably any points. So who wants to add?
It was that fellow, that gentleman, or that person that you were referring to, who said that
Yeah.
He was just acupuncture free doctors and all that he would do. But he was a guru also, he had a followership also. We were on level 1 and he was on ground floor. I was 18 maybe that time. No idea what Prabhupada Vita Iskcon is. But now I can relate back and I get so upset, you know, why did I even go to him? So he would, there was a on ground floor, he had a temple. All the deities were there, Durga Devi, Lord Krishna, Ram, all the deities were there in that, and thick black glasses. You know, you really have to really try and see something, then you may see something. But then once he took us inside, my mother and my auntie went, and he showed his temple. And then he said, he pointed out to Durga Devi's deity. And then he said, what can she do? I only change her clothes every time. What can she do? And then mother, it didn't click her. What is he trying to say? And then he explained who he is. And then he came up. I was there. He gave us a big card. And there was Aarti written, where it was Vishnu Aarti, but Vishnu was removed and his name was there. So I am the source of Durga Shiva, Darada Dash Baba. That was the day my mother stopped going, because she had some little understanding, whatever she had. And then I read that whole Aarti, I was thinking, this guy, you know, this is too much. You know, Vishnu was removed from Aarti, and then there was a nice rhythm to it, Om Jai Jai Gadish Hare type, and then Om Jai Dash Baba, something, and then full tune was there, and people would sing. And he's a doctor, and he's saying, what can she do? I change her clothes. You know, imagine if a devotee thinks like that. I change the devotee's clothes. It's the other way. It's completely the other way. If Radha Balam removes their mercy, we can't change even our own clothes. What to speak of Radha Balam's clothes? So, it's as Prabhu mentioned, it is, you have to be super caught up to think like that, to operate on that level and then preach. And then I have followers and then I accept service also and worship also on that level. I don't know what is the destination of these people, but it must be intense. It must be very intense. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Prabhu, yes, Virat Purusha and Shiva Daksha Vishnu is the same.
No, it's not same. Virat Purusha is universal form. The temporary manifestation of the universal form. So this is actually the universe which is explained as Virata Purusha. You know, that is Purusha Avatar. Shiradaksha Vishnu is one of the Purusha Avatars. But Virata Purusha is that Lord Krishna showed to Arjuna, brought the whole, all universal form at one place. So that is the whole universe, which whole description is coming on from now.
So what it was said, which was lying on the water, you know this Shiradaksha Vishnu is lying on the water.
No, if you read Vishnu, it's
yes.
We read, Supreme Personality Word, the Virata Purusha situated himself in that golden egg which was lying on the water. So the golden egg is lying on the water, not him. Because there is no form, it is just universal manifestation. So the universe cannot, universal manifestation, how will it lie on the water? So it's a golden egg which is lying on the water, which is talking about. I also thought that when I read the question. Yes,
please. In this description, it mentions that the sun is manifest from the eyes of Lord Vishnu. Right?
Yes, please.
So, but we observe the creation in a different way, in that if there's no sun, we can't see. And so the sun comes first. In order for us to be able to see, we need to have sunshine.
Yeah.
Right? But in this case, it mentions that the sun is manifest from the vision of Lord Krishna. Right? So how do we understand that? How do we process that concept that the sun manifests from the eye of the Lord? Huh?
Yeah.
That's what I said. So how do we how do we imagine, or how do we mentally reconcile that explanation?
So, just if I'm not wrong, you're saying that something which is coming from the Lord is what we, it helps us to see. So then how to understand that by the help of something which is coming from Him, we can see Him? We can see things around, or?
How do we understand, or how do we reconcile the presence of the Son and its being dependent on the vision of the eyes, basically, of Krishna? How do we understand that? What's our meditation in understanding how that manifests?
I'll just read the translation of the Brahma Samhita verse. It says, the Sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in persons of whose order the Sun performs his journey mounting the wheel of time. So, actually, this, even in the translation of this verse, says that a pair of eyes appeared in universal form, in them the sense of sight. In the wake of the sense came the Sun God, who is presiding deity over it. So, by understanding what I've understood from this is, He, as energy of the Lord, or as a designated role given by the Lord Himself within the creation, He is the eye, or the presiding deity over the Sun planet, which is making sight possible within the universe, because that's what Sun becomes very important for us due to heat and light in terms of seeing or operating. So, you only explain, I don't know which, I'm still...
I'm asking the question.
So, here the universal form of the Lord is explained by Sun...
I'll repeat my question.
Yes.
There is an answer, but just a bit. We depend on the Sun for our vision.
Yes.
In this particular case, the Sun depends on
the
Lord's presence. And it said when the eye of the Lord is manifest, then the Sun is also present, or comes from that, generated. And in Bhagavad Gita, it actually mentions that the Sun and the Moon are the eyes of the Lord. Right? So I guess when the manifestation of the universal form, our observation of that manifestation is the presence of the Sun and Moon, right?
Yeah.
As His eyes. Because the Virat Rupa is not a form that you know, like walks around.
Yeah, true.
Right?
And now I'll go to
but it manifests in all these different forms, which is explained here. And the manifestation of His eyes, which provides then the ability for everybody to see, is in the form of the Sun and the Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
As I said.
Yes, I didn't get this. Now, because He's not a person walking
around. I'm looking for the universe.
Yeah.
But He isn't, well, He's got hands and legs and all
things,
but they're all over the place.
Sure.
Like Prabhupada says, all of the hands and the legs in the creation are His. Hands and legs are everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got them, but they're His ultimately. So the manifestation of the universal form is quite unique in that there's so many meditations. Now think about it.
Yeah. Because I think in that lecture, in that purport, only Prabhupada says, how can you worship universal form? Means if you want to do some service for universal form, I mean, how do you do it? That's where the personal form of the Lord makes it very easy for a relationship to establish. How do you have a relationship with the universal form? Because it's not a person moving around. It's
all the features.
Is it right to say it's more of a symbolic representation?
Well, it is mentioned that it is a symbolic representation, but it has features, or he has features.
Which are described in a personal format, where like eyes are compared to the sun or the side, trying to understand.
A variety of ways, many ways.
The sun is, if you see the pictures of the sun, then you go to the sun and the Narayana is there sitting. So this is not symbolic representation of the sun. The sun is.
Prabhupada does explain as being somewhat symbolic. He does mention that.
Yeah, that's
but you're correct, it has all of these different features. It's real.
But yeah, but Srimad Bhagavatam described the sun and the chariot going down the one level. So this is the sun. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. You cannot understand this as symbolic. This is as it is.
He's talking about
the
so, the universal form manifests a variety of features, right? But the conception of him as being a person is symbolic the conception of the Rupa as being a person is symbolic. Because he's not actually a person as we know him, as I can talk to you or whatever.
Yes.
He's manifested. Yeah, the aggregate of all the features of the material creation. How we worship the Virata Rupa is we take all of those features, all of those elements of the Virata, because they're provided by Krishna Almighty, that we use them in his service. Right? We use them in Krishna's service. But, the manifestation of the sun god is definitely a person, right? But the Virata Rupa can't walk. Well, I guess Krishna can do anything. But the Virata Rupa can't just walk in the door and say, "Here I am." Because it's a manifestation of all the creatures of the creation.
Yeah, like hairs on the trees. You know, difficult to.
Yeah,
hairs on the trees on the body.
Yeah. What kind of a body is it?
Yeah.
His eyes are the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a description of so many features where Krishna says, "I'm the light and the sun and the moon, I'm the ability of man, I'm, so many elements." Yeah, the elements of the creation, which is that Virata Rupa, that conception of the creation as a form of God. Anyway.
Thank you.
Nice to.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Pranthasham Bhagavatam ki jai.